If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, what do chefs, actors, veterinarians, lawyers, zookeepers, and librarians have in common? Wrong. On the surface, not much, but along with 13 other professions, they all made the list of, quote, jobs everyone thinks are amazing, but actually are soul-crushing nightmares. Now, what I personally took from the list is that librarians are under the misguided notion that we think that their job is amazing. We don't. Nobody does. Now, a job that did not make the list is police officer. Now, look, growing up, TV shows, movies, they make it look like you are saving the world, saving lives, and just being an all-around badass. But as I've gotten older, I realize the uncomfortably high percentage of police work is dealing with sweaty, naked people hell-bent on being insufferable. End of story. Now, speaking of cops, an officer in the United Kingdom, he lost his job recently. He was cited for, quote, gross misconduct. Now, what did this horribly corrupt miscreant do to crush the public trust? He pocketed a $5 bill that he found in a police vehicle as he was cleaning it. The horror. Now, these are just some of the stories we've come across. Stories that left us with many questions. Questions we'd like to ask you in the form of our random question. And this is how it works. You call us, we'll ask you a question at complete random. And after you share your story, we will share with you the news story that inspired said question. This question brought to you, by the way, by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration.
Be part of the Big Show, the random question. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@KISW.com. Over Charles, away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,361. What a large and a charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Once again, the exciting return of Your Guess Is As Good As Mine. The categories today coming up at 4:30, Cars and Kicks.
I think I see what you did there.
Thursday is our 6th annual Kicks for Kids Day. Yes, sir.
All right.
The kids get to pick out the brand of shoes that they want. All right. So we have for you today the top 10 best-selling brands of shoes here in the United States of America.
Ooh. I mean, I can get through maybe three, and then I don't know. Man.
It's not Jordans. It's Nike.
Right.
It's not Air Force Ones. It's all under one umbrella. So no matter what the shoe, it's just the company.
Right now, I would guess Hokas and Skechers. That seems to be... one of the ugly ones. Uggs.
Both of those.
Yeah.
Hokas and Skechers, yes. So the top 10 highest selling tennis shoes. Then we have for you today the best cars in the United States, according to Consumer Reports. So you can do two things. You can do either the 10 best cars or the 10 worst cars.
Okay. All right.
And that's basically the same thing as far as just the brand itself is concerned. So for an example, and I'll give you, what do you guys think the worst car is as far as owner satisfaction, reliability, road tests, and safety? What is the worst car that you can buy as far as it's just going to be in the shop nonstop?
Ooh. I mean, Jag used to be the one. I don't know if it's still down there, but Jaguar was notorious for that. I've heard.
I like them, but I hear the Revians have problems.
I've heard that a lot, man.
They are 31, Ted. They are the second worst.
All right. And it's crazy. Everyone I know that owns a Rivian, or everyone I know that knows someone that owns a Rivian, absolutely loves them. Like, they love.
Well, the same with Land Rover.
Their vehicle. Right, Land Rover. I've heard, we had a friend who's a mechanic, and my wife and I were debating probably 15 years ago. And so she placed a call to him, and he said, look, do what you want, but do not buy that thing. It just said, look, mm-hmm. it's more problems than it's worth. But like you said, the people that own them absolutely love them.
The number one worst car in America is people who like to put toy ducks on the dash.
Jeep. Oh, yeah.
What is the, what am I missing there? Do we know?
I don't know.
Is that just a style ducks? Thing?
Yeah. I think they just
became a thing.
Yeah. After, maybe it's one person saw the other person's ducks. They were like, that's cool. And then it just became a sharing thing.
But I want ducks too.
Specific. Yes.
Little rubber duckies. That is the worst car that you can buy.
It's called Jeep ducking.
Is that what it's called?
And is there anything behind it other than it's just a thing to do?
It's a trend where Jeep owners place the rubber ducks on the other Jeeps as a random act of kindness. And
so then they in turn take that duck and put it inside on their dashboard. Walmart and have a duck on their
Does
on
someone
their
Jeep. Have to gift you the duck? Like, do you have to earn that duck, or can I just put a duck in my Jeep? Or they're like, dude, you bought that and put it
can
in
Can I re-gift a duck?
I don't own a Jeep, so they only tell me so much.
What's also odd to me, that means Jeep owners have kind of a cachet of ducks in case they see another Jeep parked somewhere, so that they might place one there.
I mean, yeah. You don't have a cachet of ducks?
I do not. Not rubber ducks. No, I have rubber chickens.
Oh.
But I'll leave that's that. Weird, I'll dude. Leave that on Rivians, yeah.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up at 4:30, and today is the day we do our random question 206-803-ROCK. Random.
Hello, Malcolm. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola. Malcolm, welcome to the program. Random question, Let's see here.
Okay. Give me a good one, Miles. Come on.
Yeah, Miles. Give me a good one.
Finally.
Yeah,
finally.
Not one of those stupid ones that you ask people.
All right, let's go with this one. What job was not nearly as good as you were expecting?
Oh, man. Let's see. I did a lot of things. What wasn't as good as those?
I mean, a lot of jobs you go into it, you think it's going to suck, and maybe it's better, or it sucks as bad as you thought. Other times, you're like, man, this is the gig I've been waiting for. And after about a week,
I was a roofer, but I had a feeling that was going to suck. I was very young, and I knew that was going to suck, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah, I mean, what is the best thing about roofing? If I'm, you know, it's hot, there's all this crap, you're on top of a roof. I mean, is there anything other than the paycheck? Is there anything about roofing?
The paycheck. No. It was just the paycheck.
Okay.
Well, not Malcolm.
Let's not think too much into it. All right. Let's see. I did a lot of jobs. Oh, well. Okay, so I was a cook in the county jail, and I thought that would be a little better. And, you know, I thought it would have a little more, some more perks to it. But,
Malcolm, what about that? Like, I used to cook, never cooked in the jail. I used to cook. It's fine. It just was not for me. And I kind of hated the job because this is not the profession of choice. But if you said, hey, girl, bro, you are cooking up a storm. Let's take these talents to a prison. Like, that to me doesn't.
Well, look.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be awesome.
No one's sending the food back.
Right. Well,
I mean, there's no complaints. Like, you get what you get.
For sure,
you
sure.
get what you get.
Yeah.
So, in that case, be like, dude, okay, that's better.
What did you think? What did you think the benefits of cooking out of jail would be?
You know, I thought that we would get, there would be some better food in the back somehow, you know, but no, we just had the same food that all the other inmates got, and we just got a little more of it.
Oh, you mean as a cook yourself, that like if you had a staff meal, you're eating what they ate?
Yes.
But
I thought we'd get a little better.
But you were not living there, right?
Yes, I was.
Okay, in that case,
if I'm in jail, then sure. All right, I'll
give
take
me something to do.
So you now did they tell you that there are these extra food perks, or is that just a belief you had if you took the gig?
Yeah, the other inmates who worked in the kitchen was like, man, the kitchen's the place to be. We get extra food, we get this and that, and you know, I'm thinking like, okay, we're gonna eat some of the officers' food or something, and no, it was run-of-the-mill, peas, fresh out of, straight out of the can, you know, just more of them.
Okay, all right. So all you can eat prison food. That's a restaurant concept, man. Right there. And your slogan is, we dare you to send it back.
There's nothing good in the back.
You know what?
But gentlemen, I do want to, let me just say, too, I met you guys. I was out there in Bremerton. I appreciate you guys for coming out. I was able to drag all four of my children out.
Awesome.
Four out of five. You know, I was able to get four or five away from the Wi-Fi and out to come hang out with you guys. So I really appreciate you guys.
No, thank you.
Yeah, man. Right. We had a good time, brother, man. Thank you for being there, man.
What's a job that not nearly as good as you were expecting? You guys?
I mean, I'm a little, because I cooked for 12 years, so I don't want to say cooking in general, but when you get a bit of a resume behind you, then you start getting your pick of the places that you want to cook, right? They'll actually kind of seek you out. So I'm like, okay, because you got a good track record, and anyone that works in the industry, you know this to be true. Ted, you were a bartender, so you know it's very incestuous. You probably worked with the same wait staff, different cooks. Yeah. whatever restaurant you go to in a certain city. So I kind of got poached to go to this place called Super Sota. And at this point in Baltimore, this was the joint to go downtown, man. Like, absolutely, if you can get a job there, it's where you want to go. And the chef that ran the place, very good-looking Italian guy. I'd met him a few times before. To be fair, every time I met him, he was kind of drunk because it was after his shift, and he would come to a restaurant I'm working in and just get fed drinks by the bartender. So I get poached. All right. Again, he's drunk, and he's kind of very cocky guy. But he's like, I understand you, the guy to come working with me. I'm like, I'm going to be there next Monday, or whatever the hell the day was. I got there, and the place was awful. I mean, it was absolutely positively.
Or just the way they ran their kitchen?
Both, because he ran the kitchen.
All right.
Right? So I remember I get there, and again, I'm excited because I'm like, all right, man, I've been cooking, and it feels good when someone poaches you, you know? And I'm like, all right, and this is the happening joint. And I got there, and I mean, after 2 minutes, I knew I didn't want to be there. But I'm like, well, gave it a try. You know what I mean? You're an adult now. Figured out. I lasted maybe half a shift.
Okay.
I would say, I was just like, I'm out.
Yeah, and then the station we ended up on, right? But that was a hip-hop station at first.
Yeah.
So I started picking up weekend shifts there because I like rap music. I was like, this is awesome. And then after a while, I was like, man, they're just not giving me anything else. So finally, I went to talk to the woman that ran that station. Was like, do I have a real shot of ever getting on a different day part? She was basically like, no. Like,
damn.
You're basically like, you're too white. And I was like, well, one of the other DJs is white. She was like, yeah, but he sounds more urban or something. So I was like, okay. I was like, well, I'm not going to work weekends for you anymore.
Yeah, that's
fair.
She
was like, well, why not? I was like, there's no advancement.
She said, why not?
Yeah.
Yes.
She was like, well, you're really good at it. I know, but there's no advancement opportunity, so.
You're really good, but I'm not going to give you the chance. Why don't you want to keep working weekends? Did she hear the words coming out of her mouth?
That's what I was like. Yeah. Well, I'm not being rude here. Like, there's no chance to move up.
Dude, you're really good. I will never promote you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike, you might be able to agree with this.
Hit me.
So, community pool lifeguard.
Oh, yeah.
I thought.
That does sound good from the outside looking
hot
in.
Hot-looking women.
You bet.
I'm going to be outside.
Access to the pool.
I was inside.
Sun. I mean, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, it does sound good.
But
yeah.
Basically what it is it's screaming kids.
Yeah.
You can also.
Run at kids.
And it's predominantly moms who are stay-at-home moms.
Yes.
So the issues they have are different than the normal person's as far as what you're hearing. But you have to pay attention to their kids the entire time.
Yes,
because they're not.
Thank God there's no phones back then.
Yeah, yeah, cell phones.
Because the last thing you want to do is not pay attention to have something bad happen.
Uh-huh.
It just got really boring. Like, you'd look down, it's like 2:05 in the afternoon. And then you look a half an hour later, and it's 2:10. I mean, time just stood still in that chair.
I damn near fell asleep a couple times up in that chair.
You can't.
And, I know.
And then you do Adult Swim or whatever. All the kids get out. Now they're pissed at you. And no adults get in the pool.
Nope.
And the kids are just sitting around like, come on.
But you're the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy. No real attractive talent, so to speak. You know, most were just kids. Yeah. I was 18, 19.
Kids and ugly moms, just say.
Yeah, that's basically what you're saying.
Basically what it was.
There's no hotties. Just these ugly slob
What
moms.
If it was on the beach? Would you give it a shot? It's like, okay.
No.
Why not? Because on the beach, as far as your hottie quotient, that certainly escalates.
Your
right?
danger quotient goes way up high, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's the difference between a kid and a 10-foot and a kid and a riptide.
You're also in charge of cleaning the bathrooms.
Yes.
You're also in charge of all the testing with the water.
Yeah.
All the filters, all the crap.
Got me fired.
Why did you get fired again?
Okay, so I got on the boss's bad side because I had mostly mornings, which was good because it was the water aerobics crew. So nobody really was in danger.
A lifeguard for water aerobics.
Oh, yeah. If somebody's in the water, you need a guard on duty. So and that was me, and I was totally fine with that. They loved me there. But then on Sundays, it was all private parties.
All right.
And so this particular Sunday, I didn't have but one group that was coming in, and it was the high school water polo team, I think, and they were coming in for just a couple of them. We're just going to run a couple drills and whatnot. There was three people in the pool on that particular Sunday. So I went in. I didn't even change into my gear. I went out there. I sat next to them as they were in the deep end, and I was in jeans and a T-shirt with my shoes on. I'm on my phone. Like, I knew who these guys were. Right, just talking to them.
I will say, as far as anyone go, any group of people, and, like, anyone can drown, I get it. But as far as being in a pool water polo players would be the least of my concern.
Correct.
Of someone who struggles.
You don't spend that much time treading water.
That's right.
That's why I didn't do anything on this particular
day. You didn't
day.
Even try to lick the park.
Dude, they were here for like 30 minutes.
And they fired you for that?
No, here's the thing, Miles, is that I didn't check the chemicals that day. Right. Because I was going to be there for 30 minutes, I didn't care. I didn't clean anything up because there was no mess that was mine to clean up. When I got back in on that Monday, it turns out that on Saturday afternoon, the chemical pumps shut off.
Oh.
And there was zero chemicals in the pool. Now, my boss at the time turned that into, you got lucky that there was just no chemicals in the pool and that it didn't malfunction and pump way too much chemicals in the
fair,
pool.
Fair.
So now you have acidified water out there that's melting people.
Yeah.
So got on her bad side for that one because she needed a lightning rod to take that hit, and that was me. So I took all of it that particular day. The other people who, you know, were there when it went off and they didn't test the chemicals either, they got a much watered down version of the absolute blunt force trauma that I got from her being mad at me. So that got me on the bad side. And then her cousin worked for her as well, and she was just somebody that complained all the time, did nothing but complain. If right. there was anything that she could whine about, she did. I'm convinced, this is my opinion of what happened here, I'm convinced that she just didn't stop complaining about the state of the place that I left. I cleaned the bathrooms, I cleaned the spectator area, I washed everything the way it needed to be. Oh, but there's dust on the computer, there was a cord left out, oh my god. And finally she was just like, we're done, we're out of here. I was like, all right, fine, I'm out.
All right, let me ask you this. If you are a lifeguard on the beach, right, so you're at the pool, you can test chemicals. And every once in a while, I will read the news and it'll say this beach is shut down because some weird bacteria or something like that. Now, if I'm the lifeguard on that beach, is there something I'm supposed to do to test the water? Or is it that when people complain,
on a beach?
Yeah, because they get diarrhea.
I don't know.
Do I make the call to say, hey, man, 50 people got diarrhea being on this beach?
Like, we didn't do it in Boy Scouts as far as, like, bacteria.
That's what I mean. You I don't think
we,
jump
had a,
in,
we,
right?
we didn't have a test.
I got to listen
to that. The ocean's different just because...
It's the ocean.
I know, but
it's
sometimes the they'll close a beach because they'll say, you know, some kind of toxic algae.
They
maybe
closes,
you can
but
see
they
it,
close but a beach, though. Generally, somebody else that goes and tests it. I don't think it's the...
Lifeguard said a lot of people are pooping themselves.
But, I mean, they got... Especially if you're on an ocean, you got to look at all the weather reports and know if there's riptides, you
right,
know, which
right.
signs mm-hmm. to hang up mm-hmm. and stuff.
Reason
and the beach
what?
Guys just seem yeah, cooler. Bigger. Yeah.
Reason we asked what job was not nearly as cool as you were expecting. This was from a Reddit thread. Number one, chef. Cooking gets glamorized. Chefs make it look like it's big money, rock star stuff. The reality is long days and very low pay.
I wouldn't say it's very low pay, but when you break it down by the hour, it's not a lot.
Zookeeper. Job requires a degree. You get $14 an hour. Basically, you're outside shoveling poop all day.
Yeah, when you break it down like that.
And you're cleaning the cages and, you know, you're not really spending time with animals.
That is a good point. When they're shoveling poop, it's not like they're hanging out with the animals.
Mm-hmm.
A veterinarian job sucks.
Oh, God. Yeah. How many animals do you have to put down?
I think it's number one on people who take their own life.
No Jesus.
I thought it was dentist.
It could be. But it's up there. Try to help animals, but the job ends up balancing one rewarding case with 10 terrible ones.
Right.
Animals you could have helped, but the owners could not afford it. Mm-hmm. Or their owners waited too long to bring them in. Clients who are abusive verbally. Heartbreaking euthanasia. Mm-hmm. In one room to a puppy wellness visit, and the next. It's crushing. Another one. Frequent international travel. It's fun and sexy at first, then very boring. Tiresome after a while.
Sure.
I had a buddy that had to do it for his company. And everybody thought it was so awesome. And he was like, I absolutely hate it. I'm always sick because I'm always in airports.
Oh, yeah.
And
in
it,
a plane,
I mean,
too.
It's nice, you know, to get like...
Constant jet lag.
Whatever status, because he flew so much.
Right.
But he was like, everybody thinks mm-hmm. it's this great job. He's like, I freaking hate it.
You live at the airport.
Yeah.
You get up crazy early in the morning to basically get on a giant bus that takes you from one side to the other.
And never actually see the place. You're like, no. I'm going to London. Like, you're not going to see London. You're
right.
going to go to a conference room in London and then get back on a plane and fly back.
Right. I've tried to bring the wife with me on a couple of these shows that I've gone out there and flown out to go and do, but to her credit, she's like, I stay in the hotel room the entire time. It's not fun for me. I didn't see this place.
Another job that sucks. Brewer. Crippling work, terrible pay, inevitable alcoholism. Surgeon, data one. He had all these issues. He was extraordinarily gifted and smart. But I think treating people like cars in the shop can affect your brain as far as human beings.
Because you're just a product.
Flight attendant. You get to travel. Pay is horrible. Hours are tough. And you need to deal with just absolutely the worst people.
I was about to say, people suck on planes.
Mm-hmm.
They're awful.
A registered nurse. Been doing it for 12 years. If I could do any other job for the money I make now, I would run away from this place and never come back. And the final one, anything in sales. They always talk about how much money you can make. In reality, a lot of pressure, not that much money. Mm-hmm. More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the men's
random,
room.
Random.
Hello, Cheyenne.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Cheyenne, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's see. All right, Cheyenne, if you could bring back one store or restaurant, what would it be?
Gotta go with probably Boston Market. I mean, you can find one or two.
Ooh,
that's a strong
call. Yeah. That really is good. Or a Kenny Rogers roaster.
I know Kenny Rogers for a fact is gone. Is Boston Market completely done, or did they just downsize where you can't find them?
I don't know. Was there one more of those?
What's that? In that kind of genre?
Yeah.
So, all right.
Boston Market. Was there one more
Kenny
of those?
Kenny Rogers, Boston Market.
But Kenny Rogers was... That got famous because of Seinfeld. Like, you didn't see that many of them.
You didn't. You're right.
Whereas, like, Boston Market seemed like they were everywhere.
They were everywhere. Mm-hmm. That happened to me.
Save my ass on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Holidays are doing radio. I mean, seriously. Go there and get, like, a half a meatloaf, half a chicken. Whatever you get, ham, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is, like, nowadays, especially, it's, like, I guess everybody just goes to the grocery store to get them, but, like, it would be nice to go somewhere and just get half a rotisserie chicken.
Is, like, Woolworths still around anywhere? Remember, I just feel like, as a child, half of my childhood, as I perceive it, was spent at Woolworths waiting for my mother to do whatever, but Woolworths back then had, like, a little counter. You could get pancakes, a milkshake, whatever. So my mom would be buying whatever it is mom's buying when you're that age. She gave me $5. She's like, just sit at the counter. Right, I got a milkshake. I'd get pancakes. I could get waffles. Whoever worked behind the counter always treated you like gold.
Yeah,
give you a scoop of ice cream on the house.
Well,
kind of
I was going to say just ice cream places in general. So I wasn't the biggest fan of Cold Stone Creamery, but you go there, it's not bad. I mean, Baskin Robbins. We used to have one on 15th in Seattle. Yep. That's gone.
There's Haagen-Dazs and a few places.
I'm with you though. Baskin Robbins and Cold Stone were the two I remember going to the most.
There was also Howard Johnson's growing up.
Howard Johnson was everywhere, man. And that was, and it depends how you grew up, but we used to always do road trips. Let me rephrase that. We would always, quote unquote, go on vacation. My parents would never pay for airplane tickets, so we ended up on a road trip to get to a destination eventually. But Howard Johnson's, man, we would see that orange sign from a mile away. My parents knew it will shut us up, right? We would pull over. I would get chocolate chip pancakes every single time, get a piece of cheesecake at the end.
Well, back to just breakfast. So we used to have a Denny's over in Capitol Hill.
Yep.
You used to have a Denny's in Ballard. I mean, there's one in Soto. But just breakfast places in general seemed like there's not as many.
There's
if you're in your South, there's Waffle Houses. There's all those things.
Yeah, but the South
So we have IHOP and Denny's. Now that Sherry's is gone, right?
Sherry's is basically gone. There's 16 Boston Market locations remaining.
And the entire United States?
That's it.
That's it. Where are they? Are they like Northeast?
Are they in Boston?
I can't see that. Just say, yeah, somewhere in the Northeast.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Man, oh man. I know like Perkins is still around. I just don't see as many. And I'm sure I'm just being nostalgic and the food is probably horrible. But again, from childhood, maybe once every 6 weeks on a Sunday, my dad would just yell down the stairs, you guys want to go to Perkins? And he might as well have said, you want to visit Santa Claus and get gifts. I mean, we were like, oh, hell yeah, man. Like, for whatever reason, that was the joint.
I mean, just regular restaurants that aren't, like, national chains. I don't live up there, so I don't miss it as much. But Bill's Off-Broadway.
Oh, man. That kills
me. I love that place.
It still kills me because they had the one in Greenwood as well. And look, when you have kids, man, a place like that, the food was outstanding. Kids were cool until like 8 or 9. But when your kids are that young, that's about the right time to get them the hell out of there anyway. But we would go there. Like, the kids were happy. We were happy. I could drink a beer. They had milk that they would inevitably spill. There's TVs with sports on. That place was great.
As far as non-food. So, you guys remember the Sharper Image?
Yes.
So they had stores.
Of course.
It was kind of like the back. It was kind of like the magazine and the airplanes for a while.
Yeah, and just they had like all that stuff.
Weird gimmicky crap.
You don't need any of it. You but just you walk around and go,
what is this? That's pretty cool. Like, and then the other was Spencer's. For the same exact reason.
I don't know if Spencer's, so.
You could go in there and get one of those shaky up eight balls.
Or, I saw
you
know, Spencer's, like, we're stupid. Delaware last year, they have the outlet malls. And the thing with that is, I don't know how prevalent Spencer's is anymore, but my kids had never heard of it. And kids have heard of every freaking thing, right? So they were like, well, what is it? And I was like, look, guys, honestly, I don't know how to explain it to you. We're just going to walk in, but you're going to like it. And you know, kids are. So like, are you sure? I said, I promise you. We spent more time in that Spencer's than anywhere else, right? My son, just all the posters, the stupid T-shirts, and the kids, everything they wanted to buy had an F word on it somewhere.
Yeah.
Because my daughter's like, ooh, can I get this hat? And now when I looked at the hat, it was a black knit cap. There's like a cat face on it, which suits her perfectly. I'm like, yeah, sure, man. So we go up to the register. They got some other stuff, too. And when the cashier picked it up to check the price, she flips it over. It says something like, go F yourself. And I'm like, whoa, no, man.
Damn.
You cannot get
that's for me.
But we really had to go through everything. So then my son, he's still like super Deadpool at this time. And they have Deadpool every freaking thing there. Oh, yeah. So he's pulling down T-shirts. And I would kind of hear him grumble. I said, man, just pick the one you want. Don't worry about it. He's like, I don't think you're going to let me get this one. I'm like, what? And I'm telling like eight different ones had a quote from the movie. Uh-huh. But like the most profane stuff. So I would laugh. And I'm like, look, man, that is very funny, but I can't buy that
for
you.
Can't send you to one of your friends' house.
No. Look, between you and me, that is hilarious. But no, we can't do it. But they thought Spencer's was the greatest thing. And then to your point, Miles, they're like, why isn't this store everywhere? I said, I do not know.
Raise your hands if you could bring back one store or restaurant, what would it be? Sears is closing its store in Burbank. That will leave just one location standing in all of California.
That is crazy.
The only remaining California store after the Burbank closure will be one in Whittier. However, they say even the Concord store may remain only a bit longer. So they might shut that one down too. Company will then have just six stores nationwide. A stark contrast to its heyday of 3,500 locations. Dominating, they say, the American retail landscape. The other five are Miami, Orlando, El Paso, Braintree, Massachusetts, and Puerto Rico.
That is crazy.
Puerto Rico has a Sears.
So they have a lot of crap, man.
Puerto Rico.
It's almost like the land that time forgot. Like you go through there and you're like, ooh.
Is that a Blockbuster?
Church's Fried Chicken.
But it's not, man. Sears was everywhere. Like every Christmas they would send out the Sears catalog, yeah. Which was the size of a phone book. And if you were anything like my brother and I, you went to toys first, right? Because Christmas is coming. And then we'd flip to the bra section.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the unsexiest thing ever. I mean, this is not Victoria's Secret.
But hey, it's boobs without a shirt on.
It was boobs without a shirt on, even though it's these granny bras with 18 clips in the back. But I mean, that was like a highly. Think about Craftsman Home,
so that's
which
is what Seattle's
known
also
for.
Also, their tools. So
oh, yeah.
Sears has spun off their tool division.
Right.
Because that's still valuable.
But Craftsman Homes are based. I mean, think about it. Sears is responsible. In a way.
It was in a catalog.
For Craftsman
Home. You could buy a home in a catalog.
And
it was $2,500 to buy a home.
Yeah.
Well, you bought the plans. And then they came
and
in.
And then they would build.
And they bought the home.
But, I mean, think about Seattle. You know, anywhere you go in this country when they talk about certain architecture, one thing that people seem to know about Seattle, they say the Craftsman Homes, and it cracks me up, because I'm like, it's like a Sears derivative.
I didn't realize that's what those houses all were.
That is absolutely.
I like them.
To be fair, I did not know that until we moved to Seattle. Everyone called them Crafts. It's like saying a Tudor or a Queen Anne. I don't know what they look like. But I recognized what a Craftsman Home was. I'm like, okay, very similar look. And then someone explained, you realize this is kind of a Sears thing. I'm like, what? So now there's only six of these left, and you have a city like Seattle, Portland to a degree, where your main housing style. Maybe not now because all this modern crap they're putting up, but the main housing stock as a direct result of Sears.
That was probably the biggest, like the most jarring event in my life is just hearing that Sears was hurting that bad and like they're going away. Because I remember growing up, we went to Sears once a month at least.
Yeah. Well, that was your guide to Christmas.
Also, yes. Like, so the Sears catalog. We lived in Sears because, again, it was the only store that had a Husky section.
Had a Husky.
So if you were a short, fat kid, like you had to go to Sears to get jeans that fit.
Like all of our appliances came from Sears. Yeah. All
every
of Dad's
of
tools came from Sears.
Every single one.
Like that was a full-on day. We'd go to South Center Mall, and we would spend half the doggone day just going floor after floor through Sears.
One of my favorite
memories.
We'd
go to Laurel Mall, Laurel, Maryland. Go to Sears.
We'd go to Sears, and it's one of those deals. Where I don't remember what my father was buying. It's like an appliance or something. Okay, so they just didn't want us around because you have to do a lot of talk about the technical blah, blah, blah. So my parents just sent my brother and I off. Sears at the time had a doorbell session. And oh, so no. Now, so the thing with doorbells, not just what you want it to look like aesthetically, the button, but they had all the different bells hanging. And the one that we thought was super cool at the time was the eight chimer, the ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Right? If you had one of those, we were like, you must be rich. So
I had a neighbor.
My
that
brother
had that.
And I were pressing a button, and this thing's just chiming, and nobody seemed to care. But eventually, my mother walks over, and she's like, "You guys have been playing this thing for like 15 minutes. Stop pressing the button." We're like, all right. So she gave it one last press, right, as the send-off, and then it broke and it wouldn't stop. Right, oh. So it goes ding dong on her put, like ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And we kind of smile. Ding dong, ding dong. She's like, I didn't hit the button. We're like, uh-oh. It kept going and going. And I remember she just grabbed us by the arms. Like, just walk, just walk, just walk.
Oh.
And she doesn't want anyone to know. Naturally, she takes us back to my dad, who's still talking to the Sears sales guy. And the first thing, we're like, Mom broke the doorbell. Listen.
Oh, yep. My God.
Well, he lends an ear. Then sure enough, it's still just going and going.
And you just love that it wasn't your fault.
Oh, dude, that was all. We got on her for like three months about
Mom,
that.
Mom, remember when you broke the doorbell?
That's been, the she was like my daughter with you. With the matter, I swear to God. We were that annoying. Hey, Mom, remember when you broke the doorbell? Yes!
Random question, 206-803-ROCK. Okay, here's one. What was the last time that you guys got pretty tore up? As far as waking up and going, oh, man, I feel crap. I feel like just total ass.
More recently than I would indicate. But really, really, really bad. Real bad, probably back in March.
Okay.
I mean, where I was just like, oh, my God, I have to ask what happened kind of thing. And, of course, the answer sucked.
Just staying up too late, I would say Friday and Saturday.
Of this week.
Well, I went to Morgan Wallen both nights, and then we, like, did some post-after stuff. So, I mean...
Yeah, what time did the concert end? Like 10, 11, somewhere around?
11:15 on the dot.
Yeah.
He pushed it. And Saturday night, he might have pushed it a little bit farther and paid that fine.
All right. Yeah, it went, but trying
to get out of there was a night. Miles, right? I ran into you at a bar after Rolling Stones because you couldn't get out of there. So you're like, oh, we'll just wait it out. And then before you realize it,
you're hammered.
You're eating a turkey or a chicken Caesar wrap on your couch at 2 a.m. Thanking God you got water.
So,
that happened to me on Saturday.
A little specific.
Coming back from Africa. All right.
Okay.
So from Johannesburg to Newark, it's 16 hours on a plane. So you're in this bucket. I'm in business class. There's nothing else to do.
How much more did that cost than coach?
I use my points.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that ain't cheap.
Was not bad, but 16 hours. Long, I mean, I took a nap, watched three movies, but still had some beverages.
Yeah.
So I get to Newark. When I get to Newark, I have to go through all the rigmarole to get on a plane that is going to take me from Newark to Seattle, direct flight. Easy peasy, because I've been in a plane for 16 hours. Well, now my flight has been canceled.
Canceled?
Canceled.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Canceled. After checking in, doing the entire thing.
Why?
The flight crew didn't show up for Alaska.
That's it.
Yep.
God.
So, okay. Now I'm in the airport for 2 hours. I am waiting for my new flight. My new flight takes me to Dallas.
Jesus.
I get to Dallas. I have to wait an hour and a half for my next flight. Which takes me to San Francisco.
All right.
Then I have a 2.5 hour delay in San Francisco, which then takes me to Portland.
Come on.
And Portland, I've got an hour. Fly to Seattle. I'm just like, that was crazy. But when I stepped off that plane in Seattle, I mean, I had an Uber.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. But I'm like, whoa. Because it was half time buzz, half alcohol buzz.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, just kind of just... swaying when I get to get to luggage. I swear to you, my bag was one of the first ones that came out.
For real?
Nice.
Yes. So that was, thank God for that.
So
man.
The first time I flew first class, because look, I'm talking
over a day on an airplane, doing nothing.
Anything about first class, we just had the opportunity to upgrade. And by we, I mean me. So I leave my wife back and coach, I take first class. And I sit down, and so the old woman next to me, we start chatting. She points out that there's complimentary drinks. And I mean, my antenna goes to the roof. I'm like, wait a minute. So, like, any drink I get, like, I don't owe them anything. She goes, well, no, dear, you paid for it. I'm like, well, I didn't. I got upgraded. But she goes, but if they put you up here, it's on the house. I'm like, cool. So, for whatever reason, they couldn't close the door to the plane. And I want to start drinking. So, I'm like, hey, man, Can I get a Jack? Because up there, you don't have to say Jack and Coke. First class, I'm like, you want Jack? We'll give you Jack. So can I get a Jack Daniels? Flight attendant says, well, look, by federal law, we cannot serve alcohol if the door is still open.
Close the door!
It's illegal. I was like, lady, I do so many illegal things, that means nothing to me, okay? So the old lady next to me, she now likes me. So she's like, oh, just serve up drinks. She got a vodka and tomato juice or something, whatever.
All right.
So me and her, this old lady, we hit it off. The flight attendant has now agreed. Whatever, I'm going to start serving drinks, which is now the benefit to everyone in first class. Now, I do not remember the entire flight, but what I will say, we find out the next day, she's called into the show because I drank 17 Jack Daniels. All right. This was, I think we were flying from Florida back to Seattle. So 17 Jacks. I black out drunk, right? But when the flight lands, I do not wake up when it lands. I wake up to being shaken by my shoulders. There's no one on the plane. There's the flight attendant, and here's my wife with her arms folded. I mean, daggers shooting out of her eyes. And I'm in my mind, I'm just like, oh, no. But I'm still so hammered, I don't care.
You basically drank an entire bottle of Jack, Steve.
Yes, I did. And apparently, the other people in first class were angry because if they wanted Jack, like, it was too late. I had taken it all down. Oh, yeah, that was...
Chris, we asked, when did you get really messed up? This is a crazy story. Pizza place in Wisconsin accidentally laced some of its pies with oil infused with THC, affecting 85 people.
Why was it even in the kitchen?
Oh, here you go. The incident reportedly occurred at Famous Yeti's Pizza.
Famous Yeti's.
Famous Yeti's.
The pizza restaurant used the THC-laced oil after they ran out of their own. But employees, they borrowed the oil from a shared kitchen, which was used by multiple businesses,
okay,
including a store that sells THC products, brownies, Rice Krispie treats. So the kitchen is shared.
But they grabbed the THC oil.
They were unaware that the oil that they grabbed contained the THC. So at least 85 people, ranging in age from 1 to 91, experienced symptoms consistent with THC intoxication after eating at Famous Yeti's. So, over a three-day period, they had no idea. They kept selling it. So, Emergency Medical Services reported to Public Health Madison that they had transported 7 people to a local hospital for various symptoms, including dizziness, sleepiness, increased heart rate, nausea, paranoia, panic attacks, increased blood pressure, vomiting, or hallucinations. 47 of the people with symptoms were male, 38 were female.
And 5 of them knew exactly what was going on.
33 said they visited a health care provider, 28 of the hospital emergency department, and 5 elsewhere.
I would have been like, yeah, I'm going to need another one of those.
You get the munchies if you're eating pizza.
This stuff was strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 people were hospitaled for at least one night. The restaurant stated in a post on Facebook, Famous Yeti's, we're working closely with local authorities to improve our storage and secure protocols to prevent this from ever happening again and to guarantee the safety of our customers. We sincerely apologize for the inconvenience and all the harm that was caused.
You got to think that the weed people are like, we just lost a lot of product, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're using that for our stuff. You take our oil. That's kind of funny, though.
More of the random question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.